We are back on the BBP. Lindsay Patterson, Tyler Dragon, Kareem Elgazar behind the mic producing for us today. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Good to be back here. I just want to go over a few things, what we do know. A few moves in the last 2 weeks. I said there's no offseason for the Bengals. Braden Combs, good for him, going to the Lions, special teams coordinator. Bengals hire Al Gordon for the linebacker room. And, you know, that's going to be an interesting hire because he's going to get some new faces in there, but all that's to be determined. I want to get into the excitement because it's been a weird week, you guys, and I try to relate things of the last time you had this much excitement surrounding a team who just went 2-14, but it's there. The national championship, I'm actually waiting for the Cincinnati market to come out on TV to see how many people were watching that game with Joe Burrow versus Clemson. And the reaction I got before the game was, what if Joe Burrow has a bad football game in the national championship? The guy did anything but that against one of the best defenses in Clemson. Kareem, you've been around this team. You've been around this city for a really long time. Can you remember anything that can compare to what the excitement has been like this week?
The only thing I can compare was, you know, I was in late high school and the talk of Carson Palmer was coming to town. I mean, and then, you know, hiring Marvin. Also, there was a lot of excitement with that. That's the only thing that really comes to mind when it comes to comparing the excitement of this time and another time. So, you know, from a fan's perspective, we need some excitement. I mean, it was an abysmal season. It's been a tough last few seasons, missing the playoffs, a lot of mediocrity. So any excitement, it's been, you know, Burrow Mania this week, and it's at a Burrow Mania is at an all-time high the last few days. So let's keep rolling with it. The fans need it.
Yeah, Tyler, and I know you talked to some people close to the Bengals right now, and they're saying they're eyeing Joe Burrow. And the crazy reaction, the first reaction I get when I do hear that, they're like, oh, of course, they're going to get Joe Burrow. Oh, the staff likes Joe Burrow. I mean, I would hope they would like him. But really, some people, there's a few in the crowd who are a little afraid that they're going to mess this up.
Well, the Bengals haven't gone out and said, yes, we're going to draft Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick. So essentially, it is news because nobody has said anything. Everybody expects it to happen, but we all know until draft day comes, anything's possible. But people inside the organization and even outside the organization that are in tune with the Bengals thinking have all told me that Joe Burrow is their guy, and they are going to draft him with the number one overall pick to be the new face of the franchise at that quarterback position. So Bengals fans should be excited. Burrow had probably, if not the best season as a quarterback in college football history, one of the best seasons. He was lights out, and his ascension to the top of the draft board was rapid. His junior year, he wasn't even a first, second, maybe even a third round pick after his junior year, and at the conclusion of his senior year, Heisman Trophy, national champion, setting all the records. Very impressive season, and that's credit to his work in the offseason. And you asked Kareem about the excitement. I kind of equate it to the whole Philadelphia 76ers era when they were trusting the process and fans wanted them to lose every single game to stockpile on the draft picks. Bengals fans didn't really label this season as there wasn't any assigned trust the process or go with Joe or anything like that. But that's what I kind of equate the excitement to.
You know, one other thing, sorry to interrupt, Lindsay, was, you know, yes, that's an obvious question. That's an obvious answer, of course. But, like, it's hard to report on this franchise. And it's, as a fan, I want somebody in there that, yeah, sometimes you have to ask the obvious question. You know what I mean? And no one has gone on record. No one, that's his job. It's his job to go in and ask tough questions. It's his job to ask the obvious question. And I think, you know, as a fan, I'm like, given the track record of this team and how kind of not transparent sometimes the decision making is, and they're not obligated to be transparent, but, you know, we want to hear sometimes as a fan, I want to hear, yes, the obvious answer. I want to see some reporting on it. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the easiest thing to report on this organization, and Tyler has to go in and ask the obvious questions sometimes.
Yeah, and I actually want to go back just to past history, because a lot of people have talked about that with this organization. To their credit, and I'm going to say that because in past history, you look at Keeley Smith, what was asked for him back in the day. Carson Palmer in 2003, the number one draft pick. I'm sure people were just hauling in the draft picks for that. When it comes to this pick, and I truly believe they should get Joe Burrow, I think, and it's exciting for the fan base, but you guys get to play GM for a second. What would be the dream scenario haul that you would be like, okay, maybe we'll think about another quarterback down the road, Herbert, Tua, in the second? What would be the draft picks? Like, what would you have to get in return for Burrow?
They would have to send me back a stockpile of first-round picks, at least two, and veteran players as well, starting caliber players. And I wouldn't move back that far. It would probably no further back than probably number five, because if I'm the Bengals, if I'm not going with Joe Burrow, then I'm gonna draft Justin Herbert. And I've been a record. I've been saying that, in my opinion, Tua has the highest ceiling, but you don't know when he is going to be ready. And we all know the history about the Bengals and their first round picks being injured. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to draft with your first pick in the first round a guy that has had a history of injuries and is coming off a career-threatening hip injury. So you can't draft him because of the injury history. So if you're not going to draft Joe Burrow, then you're probably going to go after Justin Herbert, the quarterback out of Oregon. And I want to go no further back than number five. And then I would have several picks after that, another first round pick, hopefully maybe even two, and then maybe a third or and a fifth and a veteran player at that coming too.
You know, Tony Pike recently tweeted out something about, you know, you get four first round picks, and you know, with the Carolina Panthers, and you get Cam Newton and a bunch of other picks, and would it make you think twice? Not necessarily would you agree to that, but would you make you think twice? I think it would make you something like that, four first round picks for the first overall pick, would make you think twice. But I think as a fan, even so, you take Joe Burrow, because very rarely do you have a generational talent quite like Joe Burrow. And you take him because, yes, do we agree? We all agree that the Bengals' problems aren't just at one position, and all those boatload of picks would certainly help with other positions. But in this league, and I think Mike Brown knows this, you can't do squat in this league without at least, the very least, a competent quarterback. Joe Burrow appears to be much better than just a competent quarterback. He's a generational talent. So you take him.
Yeah, you know.
It's so obvious.
I agree with that. I've never seen a quarterback like this, the national attention, pretty much just saying it's going to be a game changer for the Cincinnati Bengals. My favorite comparison, if you were to compare the two, is what I'm seeing is the Andrew Luck. I mean, if someone's out there saying that this guy looks like Andrew Luck, you got to take him with the first round pick. And it's funny because Lance McAllister actually put on Twitter, he goes, give some credit to Zach Taylor. At the time, nobody saw it, and they were wondering, like, ah, okay, maybe it is a thing to bench Andy Dalton. But he benched him to almost prove a point at that point, at that time. Not really how bad Andy Dalton was playing, but hey, I'm here to show you Ryan Finley isn't the answer. And he started him for three games, and I think that was a point by Zach Taylor, and it put them in the position to be 2-14. You're a former quarterback coach. You see the guy in the distance, Joe Burrow. And I know you and I, we actually talked to Zach Taylor a little over a month ago in his office, and we said, hey, you know, Joe Burrow, and just kind of throwing out Tua, and he's like, I haven't watched him. You know, I know he's probably joking with us a little bit, but I think that's so interesting because at that point, nobody saw it. They're like, maybe it does make sense to bench Andy. Let's see what Ryan Finley has, because we know how the Andy Dalton crowd is over here. But I think that's interesting to look back on that, those three games that Ryan Finley started, to be like, yeah, I'm showing you this guy isn't the answer.
And speaking of quarterback play, you know, I was watching the national championship. I know this might sound blasphemous, but intermittently, because I was on dad duty on Monday evening. So I was doing some stuff, and I would come back. And in the three times I came back, it was happened to be a Joe Burrow pass. He threw three passes that, to me, is something that Andy Dalton's game that lacks. Andy Dalton's really good in the short and intermediate, and he's really good. He's pretty good in accuracy. He also can throw the dart, the intermediate dart to the outside. But in my opinion, Dalton lacks on the deep ball down the sideline, And in the red zone, the short touch pass to the back of the end zone, not the fade, but kind of more like the touch pass to the back of the end zone. And when I came in, I was doing dishes, cleaning up my son's toys, whatever, came back. And Burrow's touchdown pass deep down the right sideline, perfectly dropped right in. That is an NFL throw. I was like, that is an NFL throw. That is something that the Bengals have lacked in the last few years. And then that second touchdown pass when he threw it to the same guy to the back of the end zone with touch in such the tightest little window, I'm like, okay, this guy, you know, when you say, oh, how can his game translate to the NFL? He's playing at the highest level in the SEC, and it's a pretty good barometer. When you see those passes, I'm like, those are NFL throws. That's the kind of guy that you need.
Yeah,
when you watch Joe Burrow on tape, even the national championship game, his accuracy jumps out at you, as you alluded to. And even his anticipation, he really throws receivers open sometimes. And he reads defenses very well. He's a very quick processor. He's very smart with that football in his hands. And he's surprisingly, he can maneuver around in the pocket and extend plays with his feet. So he's a can't-miss prospect, and the Bengals are going to draft him with the number one overall pick.
One of my favorite throws actually happened against Oklahoma, and he meant to throw it out of bounds, but he still found a receiver to get the first down. I mean, the guy is just his like Kareem said, the NFL throws that you're seeing out there. And look, I know you're going to say NFL competition's a little bit different. You're playing Clemson. You're playing Alabama. I mean, it's not an easy schedule for LSU, too, and a lot of those guys will be in the NFL next year. When you look at the offensive line, because we've talked about it all season, and the first question you get, Cincinnati's going to ruin Joe Burrow, because when you look at what you're dealing with, I think a lot of people forget the last stretch of the season, this offensive line started to look better. I'm not saying it's perfect, because it's far from perfect. But you are getting a guy like Jonah Williams out there who is getting great comparisons during his rookie year. I've talked to the guys from Pro Football Focus, and they praise what he was able to do in college and what he will be able to do in the NFL. So you still have that out there. But Tyler, Kareem, they still have some damage to do on that offensive line.
Well, here's another reason why Bengals fans should be optimistic about this offseason and this coming season. The Bengals are essentially getting two first-round picks because Jonah Williams did not play last year, and he's going to be the starting left tackle. First-round pick right there, and then you're going to usher him in with Joe Burrow, first-round pick at quarterback. So that's a pretty good place to start at. And then you have Trey Hopkins right there at center. The Bengals signed him to a multi-year deal because they like his veteran presence and they like the relationship and rapport he can build with a rookie quarterback like Joe Burrow. When you have a quarterback under center, you want a center who is smart, can diagnose defenses, and can help along the quarterback if he has any questions, and somebody the quarterback can rely on. Other than a tight end, a running back, and receiver, that center position is a quarterback's best friend, and that's why they signed Trey Hopkins. And then, yes, you probably have some holes at both guard spots you might want to address, but overall, I think the Bengals' offensive line is sitting in a decent position heading into this offseason.
I think at the Senior Bowl is what's really interesting. We're actually going to talk to the executive director, Jim Nagy, later on the show, and just the coaching staff. There is a benefit going 2-14. You get to be around these guys. You're going to coach these guys. It's far different than going to the combine and having your sit-down interviews and just watching them through drills. Kareem, what advantage would it hold for Zach Taylor's staff? I mean, look, Joe Burrow, if he goes, if, and more than likely won't go, but if he goes, why does that make a huge difference if he's just there?
I mean, it's just like with any other job, right? You got to interview candidates, and this is an informal setting where you can have casual conversations with potentially your top candidate to hire. And I think, you know, what's important is, yes, X's and O's and the ability to play, but also you want to get to know a guy's personality and how they fit in the locker room and how they fit with the offensive mentality and the culture that Zach Taylor is building. We've talked to veterans like Carlos Dunlap over the course of the season and saying, wow, there's a massive culture change. Well, when you go down in the Senior Bowl, you have to get to know these players to see if does this person fit into our culture and the changes we want to make. So that's a tremendous advantage. As you know, you're the coaching staff, you have first dibs basically to interview candidates. So I mean, then plus you get to see them perform. Like you said, probably Joe Burrow will not be playing. He might attend. But you know, that's really, really an advantage for the Bengals to go in 2-14. And the way the NFL is structured, you know, there's a lot of parity, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, yes, you go 2-14, but you do have a leg up the next season.
Tyler, you're going to actually be making the trip. Make sure you check out all of his stuff on Cincinnati.com for that. But what are you going to be looking for down there? I know you get to talk to some of the coaches in more of a relaxed setting, but for you personally?
Well, I want to see how Zach Taylor and his coaching staff, they interact with the college seniors. And I want to really keep my eye on to see if they are real interested in talking to any certain players, position groups, and if they have interactions with the under-the-radar players, maybe the fourth-round prospects, the fifth-round, sixth, seventh-round guys, because we all know the Bengals have a lot of holes, and they are going to be meeting with a lot of good prospects at several positions. So I really want to keep my eye on what linebackers they're going to talk to, what offensive guards, right tackles they're going to talk to, because those are some of the position groups that the Bengals really need. I'm not even going to talk about quarterback because we know that, but every other position group the Bengals have a position of need in. I really want to see, okay, who are these guys really kind of honing in on at the Senior Bowl? And of course, you know, after the practice, after the games, I'm going to talk to Zach and I'm going to talk to all the coaching staff to see who is catching their eye.
I think looking ahead to February and March, March is going to be interesting because franchise tag can happen. They could re-sign some of their free agents. But I'm going to make you guys play this little game right now. I'm not going to give all the free agents because there's several, but I'm going to get a handful. And you have to tell me two that you have to bring back and two that you can just say peace out. So we're going to start with AJ Green, Darqueze Dennard, Tyler Eifert, Clayton Fedulum, Andrew Billings, Brandon Wilson, and Nick Vigil. What two are you bringing back and the two that you're just saying, okay, no, we can move on?
First and foremost, I mean, this is
easy
answer.
I already know what you're going to say.
AJ Green must bring him back, even if it's under the franchise tag. And then my second might surprise you, but it's Brandon Wilson. He led the NFL in kick return yards. He was a Pro Bowl alternate. And even on defense at that safety spot, he shows some promise and limited opportunity. So I am bringing him back because the special teams unit was probably the most consistent unit in the whole team last year. And Brandon Wilson was a big part in that. So I am bringing him back, as well as the obvious, the best player on the team, and can help bring along Joe Burrow, AJ Green.
Are you still on the whole you should extend AJ Green or franchise tag him?
I think you should extend him probably around a 3-year deal. I think the Bengals are going to franchise tag him because they are not very close in negotiations still, and the Bengals are with the mindset that if they don't solidify a long-term deal before the deadline, they are going to designate him as a franchise player.
This is a tough question. Obviously, we go AJ Green, so we know pay the man whatever, franchise, a multi-year deal, put that aside. You know, the linebacker room is thin. And Nick Vigil, I mean, he's played pretty well. He's where he needs to be. He's the only one with a veteran experience. I mean, I don't know what that linebacker room looks like without Nick Vigil next year. So I think, and in terms of basing this on need, AJ Green and Nick Vigil. I mean, I was thinking about Brandon Wilson, but I think the linebacker position right now is a greater importance, and I think Nick Vigil.
You know what? I'm going to stick with AJ Green, but I'm going to go Darqueze Dennard, because I felt like when he came back out there, the secondary started to look a little bit better, and I think he's a difference maker. I think he finally put that season out there to maybe get extended more than a year deal. But speaking of one-year deal, what would you do in this situation? So obviously they're going to let Tyler Eifert, one of the players, to, you know, test the market, and maybe they'll see if they can match it or not. I'm thinking Tyler Eifert's going to get more than a one-year deal, and I think they'd only bring Tyler Eifert back for a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a easy answer because he's injury prone and you don't know how much you can get out of him. He was on a pretty much a snap count game in and game out this year, and he was the red zone tight end. Inside the 20s, the Bengals would use him, and they would use C.J. Uzomah for the bulk of their snaps. So Tyler Eifert, he can still make some plays, but you can tell that all the injuries that he's had throughout his career have started to take a toll on him, and that's natural. So if you sign Tyler Eifert, it will be on a one-term, kind of a minimum-type contract.
But I could also see a team overpaying and giving him a multi-year contract because they need a tight end, and they saw him last year, full season. But like you mentioned, his snap count was down, and it was just a different kind of season for Tyler Eifert. Good for him. I mean, the guy's going to get paid somewhere. I just don't think it's going to be here. But guys, around the NFL, I got to go into this Odell Beckham versus the NCAA situation right now. If you watched anything after LSU started celebrating, Odell was there. Odell Beckham was there. He was just, you know, handing out his money. First it was fake, then it was real. And the NCAA is like, nah, you can't do that, man. You can't be handing out real money, because Joe Burrow later on, a part of my Take podcast, mentioned, hey, it was real money. Who knows if he was being serious or joking. Doesn't, you know, matter to him anymore because he's already graduated with 2 degrees, so he can take any money he wanted, but he didn't say that he did. He just said it was real money. When you look at that situation, and then everyone knows what he did to the cop, he kind of slapped him on the butt, and now he's, you know, the battery warrant, all of that stuff. It's just a mess. But in that situation, if you're Odell Beckham, just, you know, watch the game, enjoy it. What'd you think of that?
You know, it's crazy because Odell Beckham did his best to make the national championship college football game about himself. Right after the game, he's on national TV handing out money, and then he follows that up with slapping a security guard on the behind. What are you thinking? What? Did you just get off Bourbon Street? Did you have too many hurricanes? Like, what were you even thinking at all? And it's funny, he probably doesn't want me to mention his name in this podcast, but Mike, one of our coworkers, I won't say his last name, he's a Browns fan, and he told me, the Browns' new coach said, you know, they're going to bring back the fullback. I think that's going to be great. And I pretty much told him, no, the Browns need more than a fullback. They need an intervention and some counseling. And that, and one of those players that needs that is Odell Beckham.
I mean, I always try to put myself in that person's shoes, right? So if, like, you know, my alma mater, UC Bearcats, are in the national championship, and I was somebody, I am nobody right now, but if
you
I was
are.
Somebody, yes, I would. I don't blame Odell Beckham for being there, being around the team. It's a good recruiting tool, whatever, LSU, that's your school, whatever. But you have to realize, number one, you always have to think, act like you've been there before, okay? So you need to act like you've been there before, OBJ. Secondly, you have to understand that your actions, how they affect other people, okay? And so if you want to be there, party with the team, congratulate, be on the field, okay, fine, whatever. But handing out cash, like, I mean, what is the value of that? You know, I don't understand that. And secondly, you're a pro. So if you're around the team, those guys are looking up to you, and you go, you know, slap a police officer on the behind. What kind of example is that setting for your university that you attended? You know what I mean? And then the players that look up to you on that national championship team. So, you know, I also think, you know, there could be a variety of double standards here about Odell Beckham being there's an arrest warrant or charged with something. I don't want to go down that road. But all I'm just saying is it's not wise. It's not a good representation on you. And more importantly, you're trying to be there to represent your university, but you didn't do a good job representing the university you attended.
And, you know, it's social media. cameras are everywhere. They see you there, and they see you get the money out. They're going to be watching. And look, I mean, the NCAA is a whole other factor, and you know what they'll get upset about. But you have to know better. And the thing is, when you see a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., who is an amazing football player, you wouldn't know that from this past season because the Browns didn't know how to use him. But he is a good receiver, and it makes you appreciate guys like Tyler Boyd and AJ Green in the Bengals locker room. They just, you know, go about their work and they get the job done. But moving on, it's championship weekend. It's the best weekend in football, even though a couple weekends ago I said wild card weekend's the best. Championship weekend is the best because you win and you are in. I want to start with the AFC. I want you to get your guys' predictions. I don't even care if you didn't pick this team from the beginning because only one of my teams still in it, the Kansas City Chiefs, this weekend. They're playing the Titans, which is really bizarre and crazy if you were to look at the beginning of the season because the AFC South was a total joke in the beginning of it. And then they kind of just made their way. They beat up a pretty beat-up Patriots team in the first round. And then, you know, moving on, I thought they were pretty impressive in the second round, the divisional round. And here they are playing the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you're looking at this AFC game, it's going to be, you know, tough environment. Arrowhead Stadium's tough to play in. The Titans are kind of like the road dog. They've been playing every weekend, looking pretty good out there offensively and defensively. Who are you taking? What's your score?
Yeah, the Titans are riding Derrick Henry, literally. He has been the best overall player in these playoffs. And in order for them to win, he needs 30 touches this weekend. And the Titans need to try to possess the football for 40 minutes, seriously. I don't think it's going to be enough, though. I do think Derrick Henry will have a good game, but that Kansas City Chiefs offense is clicking on all cylinders. The way they put up 51 points pretty much in a flash, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes is playing at an MVP-type level. Their defense is getting better, and Tyreek Hill's the fastest player in all of football. I just think it's going to be too much for the Titans to overcome. That offense is too high powered, and I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning this weekend and the Super Bowl.
You know, there are three teams. I do a weekly pick'em. I do two weekly pick'ems, one with you guys and one with my friends. There are three teams that are just the bane of my existence this season, okay? The Bucks, the Falcons, and the Titans. Okay, I couldn't figure them out all season long. Okay, and then I look, I'm like, they're playing for the championship, really? The Titans, their game can translate. Their game can travel. I think you're absolutely right, Tyler. They're gonna have to pound the rock with Derrick Henry. Give that man 30 carries. You know what I mean? He probably was gonna break another record, some kind of single game rushing record in the championship game or something like that. And I do think, though, the Chiefs are going to take it. The Chiefs just have, you know, they're susceptible against the run. I think they're at least in the lower third, maybe ranks 25th or 26th against the run. So, I mean, I even so with that, I think the Chiefs win 34-28. That offense is just incredible. And, you know, you see when you that game when they put up 50 points, you know, you look at primetime players and you judge them when their backs are against the wall. And Patrick Mahomes, his back was against the wall. They were down 21 points and you just saw what he is made of again. And so that just with that performance and then that offense, and I think aside from, I think their defense is good enough to stop the Titans. I think it's going to be 34-28 Chiefs.
I'm going to say 35-17. I think just the way Kansas City played, and as you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. Travis Kelce, I'm going to say he's going to have about two touchdowns, but just the way they came back at home, I mean, four touchdowns in a quarter is just insane. So I'm taking Patrick Mahomes only because I want to see, it's really selfishly, I want to see Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. So we're going to move on to the NFC right now. A great matchup. I am so pumped for it because yeah. Seattle was pretty beat up and Green Bay won. They should have actually won by, I felt like, a little more than what the score was. And they started to see that more in the second half. But when you look at Green Bay traveling on the road to take on the 49ers, who the 49ers have been a surprise team to me. I've actually talked about this a lot this season, how Zach Taylor could be like Kyle Shanahan if you give him 3 years and an aggressive quote GM, and I feel like if the front office does get aggressive and you add a guy like Joe Burrow, you could be in the spot where the 49ers are right now, and they're unbelievable. I mean, on the defensive side with Bosa too, Jimmy G is okay, and I feel like he's been like that all season long, but he is where he is in the NFC championship game. I'm going to take the Packers in this one, 28-17, but what are you guys doing?
This game is tough for me to pick, and I'll probably have a different answer for you on Sunday. But right now, I am going with the 49ers to become the second team in NFL history to make the Super Bowl after losing 12 games the season before. So I'm picking the 49ers, but I'm not very confident in the pick. We all know the 49ers dismantled the Packers earlier in the season. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's playing pretty well, but that defense, that's the best defense left in the playoffs other than the Tennessee Titans. And they're at home. I know that it's going to be a raucous environment at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Got the 49ers squeaking it out 28-26.
It's because they use a fullback. That's
You know I like the fullback position. Got to pound the rock. Play good defense, make timely throws, kind of like the Titans, but the Titans are playing a juggernaut in Kansas City.
All right, so you're going Niners, Kareem?
I like the Packers here. I think, first of all, I mean, Packers-Niners in a championship game, how classic and quintessential is that? You know, everyone loves nostalgia, and that's really, for viewers, that's a really, and for the NFL, honestly, you couldn't really ask for better in terms of two franchises. But I think the Packers starting to really, really play like how we think they should be playing. And then when you have a player like Aaron Rodgers, who's been there before, a veteran player, cool, calm, collected, poised, and excellent quarterback, he's going to find a way. If the Packers had any other quarterback, I'd probably be going with the 49ers. But I think Aaron Rodgers finds a way to win. They're going to squeak it out, maybe 31-28.
All right, championship weekend, the best weekend in football. Before Tyler gets going to the Senior Bowl, what can people check out on Cincinnati.com?
So I have a mock draft that's been getting a lot of eyeballs because I kind of – did I break news or did I not break news?
Well,
I don't know. It's kind of
– you brought up a great point. You're a reporter. You have to ask the question, and your sources are telling you.
Yeah, so got a mock draft, and I also have who the Bengals should draft – in their first pick in the second round. I'm not going to say it right now. You got to go on the website to check that out. And as Lindsay just said, I will have all the coverage from the Senior Bowl next week. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com.
Speaking of Senior Bowl, our guest next, Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl. Thanks for joining us. Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl, joins us for a few minutes. Jim, how you doing?
Busy's good. Busy's good. Everything's great here in Mobile. We're really excited to get next week cranked up and get the players into town here in about 48 hours. So, fun time of year.
What's the week like before the Senior Bowl?
There's a lot of juggling right now. You know, even with the roster. You know, this is a time where I hate being an agent call right now because usually here we are like 72, 48 hours out. This is only my second year, so last year is all I have to draw upon. But if you're getting a call from an agent right now, it's usually to pull a player from the game because he's been trying to take it up to the last minute to see if he's, you know, responding to a postseason knee scope or something of that nature. And we've got so many other events going on during the week outside the game that, you know, we're having a free concert downtown Mobile Friday night. We're having a Mardi Gras parade Friday night. We're having a leadership summit on Thursday, so it's like a three-ring circus. So just juggling all that stuff is pretty busy.
Trying to stay busy, get some sleep in between. If there's someone who's not familiar with the Senior Bowl, why was it started in the first place?
Why was it started?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just for us, you know, to help the NFL teams really with the draft process. You know, so our game's 71 years old, and, you know, we've been saying here, you know, we try to bring in the best of the best and let these guys compete and spend the time around the NFL. And that's why it's such a big week for the NFL guys, because this is really the only time during the pre-draft process where they get an extended period with a group of great players. At the combine, there's so many other things going on at the combine between medicals and psychological testing and things of that nature that the teams really don't get a lot of time with those guys there. Whereas here, they've got 7 days, and they've got plenty of time at the hotel between practices, after practice, you know, to really get to know these guys and gain conviction on the players. And that's really the biggest thing. One, the on-the-field stuff is very important because you're seeing the best players from around the country go up against each other. But it's the off-the-field stuff, too, and trying to figure out who these young men are. Just going back on my experience working in the NFL and scouting for 20 years, the teams that I worked for, I look back at the majority of the draft picks that we missed on. We didn't really miss on the player. We missed on the person. And the longer you scout and you're around football, I mean, watching the tape is the easiest part. But it's figuring out who these young men are going to be when they've got millions of dollars in their pocket and a lot of time on their hands. You know, how they're going to approach being a pro. So this is a big week in that area for these NFL teams, is seeing how these guys approach the week and handle the week.
So you're saying there's a little bit of an advantage if you go 2-14 and you're Zach Taylor and his coaching staff and you get to be around these guys.
It is a massive advantage. You know, it's one of those things the NFL has kind of created. It's set up for parity. You know, everyone, the way the league has constructed itself, you know, the rules, everyone should be 8-8. You know, really, that's what makes what New England has done incredible. But this is part of that parity formula where the teams picking at the top of the draft get to come down here and spend a week with these guys. And if you come down with your sleeves rolled up and ready to work, I mean, you can really get great information, whether, you know, on the field or they're coaching them and you're seeing who's taking coaching points and who's not, and, you know, who bounces back after a bad rep, who's mentally tough, you know, who brings intensity to practice. But then, you know, in the meeting room, who shows up on time, who's attentive, who's taking notes, you know, who's the lead, you know, who emerges as the leader in the room throughout the week at each position. So, if you taking those things away and having all that behind-the-scenes access that the other 30 teams don't get, it's a massive advantage.
I'm going to say when the Bengals draft Joe Burrow, because we know that's more than likely going to happen. But if they do, he's going to need some weapons right now. And all the fingers are pointing at what this team is going to do with A.J. Green. That's still a question mark if they franchise him, if they extend him, or they let him walk. Are there any receivers to be on the lookout at the Senior Bowl coming up?
Yeah, it's a great receiver group. It's loaded, really. I mean, this is the best receiver class that I can remember going back on my 20-plus years coming down to the Senior Bowl. It's really good at the, you know, really top three, four rounds. I think our whole receiver class is probably going to go in those first three or four rounds. But Brandon Ayuk is a kid from Arizona State, super explosive, you know, really kind of one of the breakout players in the country this year. He's a better prospect than his teammate N'Keal Harry was last year, who went in the first round of the Patriots. So you got him. You got Michael Pittman Jr. from USC, who kind of fits that Bengals mold, what they've played with over the years with their bigger receivers. You know, Michael 6'4", 225, a Biletnikoff finalist. It's really a big class. So he's big. Chase Claypool from Notre Dame, 6'4". Colin Johnson from Texas is 6'5". And then you got burners. Then you got guys like Devin Duvernay from Texas, who ran a 10-200 meters coming out of high school. You've got Juwan Jennings at Tennessee, who's just a big, strong, physical, aggressive, plays the position kind of mean. So there's players that kind of fit every role at the wide receiver position, and they're all here. So the Bengals will have their pick of what they think they need at the position. There's plenty of options.
When you talk about protection, they're going to have Jonah Williams out there for the first time since he was injured his rookie year. But they still have a pretty weak O-line at the moment for the Bengals. Any college standouts to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, that's one area that this group probably isn't quite as good as it was a year ago. We had 5 first-round offensive linemen last year in the game. And just the North team alone, they had 9 of the 10 guys on the North team went in the first 3 rounds. So that was a really historically good all-star class. But there are some good ones. Josh Jones is a tackle from Houston who's probably going to end up going in the first round. I really like our center class. Nick Harris is the best senior center in the draft, hands down. But then we added 3 juniors to round out that class. They're juniors. They're eligible for our game because they graduated. So Matt Hennessy from Temple is a guy that compared really favorably to Garrett Bradbury, who was the 18th pick in last year's draft to the Vikings. Very similar guy. Lloyd Cushenberry from LSU, we added yesterday, coming off a national championship season. He was a team captain there at LSU. He's very similar to Eric McCoy, who went in the second round out of our game last year to the Saints and was first-team all-rookie. So some really good centers in this group, some really intriguing tackles. And then if you're looking at guard, you've got guys like Logan Stenberg from Kentucky, Ben Bredesen from Michigan, John Simpson from Clemson. I think all three of those guys will be starters as rookies next year, whether they end up in Cincinnati or elsewhere.
Hey, so I have to go back to Joe Burrow. You have some big-name quarterbacks going in this game. You have Jalen Hurts playing the Senior Bowl. You have Justin Herbert, obviously. How confident are you that Joe Burrow will even show up to the Senior Bowl?
Well, we're going to talk tonight, actually. he reached out on Wednesday, and he just said, you know, this week's been a whirlwind. They got on the plane yesterday to go to the White House. They're there this morning. So we're going to talk tonight and see where this goes. You know, he got beat up pretty good in that game on Monday night, so mm-hmm. I don't know what he's feeling like. And again, this is such a unique circumstance. I mean, the guy, like you said, he's probably going to be the number one overall pick. So, you know, our game is great for people that have something to prove and have something to gain from it. What Joe would have to gain from coming out and actually playing in this game, to be honest, I don't know if there is much value there, but there is a ton of value for him to coming to Mobile and spending the week with the Bengals. If this is going to be, you know, a long-term marriage between Joe and the organization, I know for a fact people with the Bengals want to spend time with Joe and you know, figure him out a little bit, and he should feel the same way. Vice versa, you know, he should want to see how they coach and their approach and get a feel for them. You know, being from Athens, Ohio, kind of right there in the backyard, it would be a really cool story. You know, if this thing all comes together, and my thing to Joe is like, just come and spend a week with the team, get a feel for Coach Taylor and Duke Tobin and all the guys on the personnel side. And to me, no better place to start it off than Mobile. Like, why wait? You know, why wait the process? Let's get this thing rolling here at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point. He's probably not going to play, but there are a lot of benefits to showing up and meeting the coaching staff, seeing how Zach and the staff works. Do you believe there's any disadvantages of showing up to the Senior Bowl?
No, I don't see any. Absolutely none. Especially if the Bengals have, you know, if they've expressed that he's their guy. I mean, this to me it makes perfect sense. I don't see any downside to coming.
And if I'm not mistaken, the deadline is tonight to notify you if they're going to play, Joe Burrow or anybody else?
No, there's no deadline.
Okay.
If Joe wants to decide on Monday, we have weigh-ins on Tuesday. If Joe wants to give us a call on Monday and say he's driving over from Baton Rouge, I'm cool with that.
Okay, so you guys are talking tonight. What time are you guys talking tonight? Do you know?
We haven't said that yet.
So the Bengals, they can't screw this up, right?
They can't screw it up because they can either take Joe Burrow or Chase Young. I mean, how do you screw that up? You could either take, you know, a guy that could be the face of the franchise and franchise quarterback, or you could take one of the best Buckeyes of all time. I mean, I think Bose has had an awesome rookie year, and he's a great player, but Chase Young's a better player. I mean, you watch Ohio State tape the last 2 years. I mean, it's Chase Young, he stands down a better player than Nick Bose. So you're either taking the franchise quarterback, you're taking a guy that could be wearing a gold jacket in 20 years, you know? So that's pretty easy to, you know, either way, they're making an easy decision. You're making a good decision either way.
Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl. I know it's a busy week for you, but you got plenty of stuff on Twitter and a podcast coming out later. Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, on Twitter, we got Senior Bowl, at Senior Bowl for Senior Bowl Twitter, and mine's just at @JimNagy_SB for Senior Bowl, @JimNagy_SB. We're going to post stuff throughout the week. I've got my phone on me all week, and I'm going to be taking a lot of, like, the behind-the-scenes footage, you know, all throughout the week. In the trade, you know, back in the training table where the guys are eating at weigh-ins. Got a great picture last year of Gardner Minshew flexing down for me before weigh-ins, before he went up on the stage. So some of that cool stuff behind the scenes will be, I'll be posting that throughout the week.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jim.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me out. I appreciate it.